flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Now, see, if you logged on there to the Odyssey app or odyssey.com at the beginning of the show, when we came on, you'd already even be qualified to win your share of 5K a day.
Yeah, man.
All you gotta do is listen for 1 hour. Log in to the Odyssey app or odyssey.com and listen to this fine radio program and station for 1 hour a day for your chance to automatically be qualified. So do that if you're listening in home or office if you can. Okay, this ran a question. Question 206-803-ROCK.
And
we did it again.
It's a Monday, dude.
Okay.
It's a Monday recharge.
All right, so call back there if you're on hold. 206-803-ROCK. I'll give you guys one. Okay, what form of technology do you hate or refuse to use?
I'm not so much around somebody that refuses to use things. I just refuse to learn how to use things. Like, whatever things are what they are. I truly just don't care. I'm just analog. It's not that I have a problem with it. I just don't care. But there are some things that annoy me. Like post-COVID, the one thing drove me crazy, and some places still do it now, the QR code in place of the menu. I don't know why that drives me so crazy, man. You go to the restaurant, yeah, whatever, you okay, sit down, and they're like, hey, man, because you're waiting on your menus. I get it. No walkover, and I kind of point at the little table tent and say, hey, man, just scan the QR code. I'm like, really, man?
It wasn't that really? That was more of a COVID thing at the time, just
it was
the germ factor.
I understood
there's no shortage
that.
Of paper.
That's what I mean. So, but a lot of places have stuck with it, and I get it, and that is your prerogative to do so. It's just one of those things that personally drives me absolutely nuts.
Okay. I just look up their website.
I realize, and honestly, Ted, to your point, I've just realized I don't know where we're going, so I don't know if they have a menu or a QR code. I know it's not a big deal, but I'm going to go online and look at the menu and already know what I want to eat before I get there.
But I generally do that and, like, just will scout out a restaurant. But then, especially if I go somewhere, I don't know where I'm going, and they have, for whatever reason, I'm with you.
I never get
those friggin' QR codes to work. So I just like.
I don't either. Yeah.
If we go to Miles's, I've never been to Miles's Bar and Grill, I'll just Google Miles's Bar.
I'll get on Yelp and just look at the pictures of the food. That way, if I can look at the food, I can see, like, are these chicken wings that I would enjoy or not? And I can pretty well make a determination just from the picture. I don't leave Yelp reviews. I don't slam places. I don't get praise. I just look at the pictures of where I'm going. That way I do not make a mistake in my mind just based on what I've seen.
Correct.
But if somebody walks by with stuff, I go, what is that?
Yeah, that looks good or that smells good.
Mine is, And I should have this, but I don't. I have extra measures, so to speak. I've got a security system in my home.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Windows, doors, all that crap. Motion sensors. I do not have a Ring cam outdoor monitoring system in my home. And the reason that I do not is because I've been with friends, and their alert will go off if a raccoon walks in their backyard.
That's exactly it.
If a bird flies too close to the porch, whatever the deal is, it is this nonstop update on things that, you know, 99% of the time aren't really an emergency. Amazon guy drops something off, that's fine. Someone steals a package, that's different. You want that. But I don't want to know sometimes what is exactly going on all the time in front of my home, behind my home.
That's the only reason I don't get it. We have the raccoons and every freaking thing else that lives around me, and I don't need the alert. And I didn't know that's how it worked. But about a year and a half ago, visited some friends in Colorado Springs. They have the Ring camera or something equivalent of that, whatever, set up. No big deal, but it talked to you. So every time you left the house, it said you were being recorded. And I understand the purpose of this, but the guy that lives there, he's in a jazz band, and he had a gig that night. So me and my wife are hanging out with his wife and kids at their place, but I'm a smoker, so I kept going in and out of the house. But because that thing always makes a mention, you're being recorded, I thought it was funny to fart at it, like legitimately fart, and I had to fart, so I'd always just fart. Anyway, I don't give it another thought. Dude gets home from his gig, and he just looks at me. I'm like, man, how was the gig? He's like, dude. I'm like, what? He goes, during my show, I got 11 alerts that something was going on in my house, and all 11 times, I see your ass, and then I hear a fart.
Yeah.
And I said, dude, I did not know that it sent it to your phone. He's like, yeah. He's like, that's the whole point. And he's like, so we're playing this gig, and I keep seeing my phone light up. I know it's not my wife, and if it is my wife, it's an emergency. So between songs, I'm checking my phone, I look at it, and here's your ass, and just... I'm like, bro, seriously, man, I'm sorry. I really didn't know.
The Rage Man asked, what form of tech do you hate or refuse to use? Older adults are sharing the modern technology they refuse to use. And this was on a Reddit thread, Ask Old People. What technology do you refuse to use? And here are some of the
color television
that people don't want to deal with. Alexa, Siri, or any smart home voice thing that could potentially be listening to me.
Yeah, I don't use those. My kids wanted to get Alexa because their grandparents had Alexa. And I said, it's not going in our house. And it's just for that reason.
Yeah. Twitter. Or X. I got off that probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, me too.
And it was a good thing because it was just getting a little toxic at the time.
Well, I don't mind that it's toxic. The problem is that you keep reading it, and then it makes you angry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, let people be however they want to be. I just don't want to be a part of it.
It just seemed like every time was just somebody trying to pick a fight or someone, like, with a negative comment or whatever the deal was. Kind of like our text line here at work. So I figured I got enough of that. Guys, I hate the internet-connected dishwashers, washing machines, dryers. I do not need to talk to my appliances. I do not need to pay extra for it. It's just one more thing that can break. I totally agree with that. The more complicated your refrigerator gets. If it's got a screen on or something like that.
I don't want any of that.
You don't want too much of the motherboard.
When you buy, I don't want anything with a motherboard. Some things, they have it by their nature, but I don't need it in my appliances. We redid the kitchen like 2 years ago, and we needed a downdraft vent, which apparently is the hardest thing in the world to find. Anyway, the guy, lovely guy, Albert Lee, he goes, look, most people have an up vent. I get that. We have a down vent. And I don't want to pay to cut a new vent and stand, blah, blah, blah. So the one they have, he's like, it's pretty cool. And you tap this button, and this thing basically uncoils from the kitchen island and rolls up. And I said, I don't want that. And he's like, why not? I said, because I'm old enough to know one thing. The more gears and gizmos you put inside of anything, the more likely it is to break. So if one little gear inside of this goes down. So at the end of it, that's exactly what I ended up with.
I have no use for keyless door locks. I'm an avid adapter to most technology, but I don't like the idea of a hackable door into my residence. If someone wants to get into my home badly enough, they're just going to have to kick the door down. I just want them to work for it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Use regular keys. Let's see here. Many new appliances and other things have apps for the devices. Sometimes you don't have a choice but to download their app to set up whatever the thing is.
Yes.
My fridge has an app that gives me a report on how many times the door's open. I don't give an S. And I have notifications turned off for these apps. I just want to plug a refrigerator in, set the temperature, and have it work for 100 years like my parents' old Frigidaire did when I was a kid. Guys, I wouldn't say I refuse to use chat GPT, but I've never bothered to learn how. And I don't really care. Another person says, Pod coffee makers. They're my probably irrational rant topic. I use one every day. I'm a fan.
I like the Keurig.
Yeah, they don't bug me. I don't have one now, but it didn't bother me when I had one. It's fine. Yep. It was easy.
Guys, I won't use DoorDash, Postmates, Grubhub. It's ridiculously expensive and would make me feel very lazy and entitled. I acknowledge that if I were disabled or whatever or sick, I'd probably feel differently. But on a day-to-day, I will just go and pick up the food or eat it there.
That does save money.
Guys, I use a cell phone, but I refuse to have any banking apps on the phone. I also don't use Venmo or any of those other money transfer apps. I do not have PayPal or Venmo on my phone either.
I don't either.
And the reason is because I have children.
Yep, that's a lot of it.
Who conveniently need money. So I will make it a point to give them money by hand, but they got to come see me.
You're right.
Not going to know what this money's for. Guys, I try to use and embrace as much technology as I can, but I refuse to use a kiosk to order fast food. No, thank you. I will do without. I'm right there with you.
That is strange, especially like some places you go into, like one place I'm thinking of, they're not out here, but yeah, it's like they're shocked you're in the store and not using the kiosk.
Yeah. Or the app to order ahead of time. Yeah. Sometimes they give you better deals on that.
They do, but also it's fast food. I'm not so impatient that I can't wait the 2.5 minutes it takes for you to throw a burger in a bag, man. I'm good. Yeah.
You guys nailed it with QR menus. Another says I'm mocked for not using a dishwasher, but honestly, I don't use a lot of dishes and can easily just wash them off myself in 30 seconds instead of running a dishwasher for 20 minutes or an hour. Self-checkout. If there are no cashiers, I'll take my business elsewhere. So I'll want to be able to.
I just always struggle with it because inevitably I've done something wrong, right? It should just scan the freaking thing, move on, and then it's like, please place item on whatever, or like something goes down. But then there's always a person who works at the place who's standing there anyway and basically does it for me. And I'm like, I just made you a cashier, which was not my goal.
No, it's because you always have booze in your cart and they need to make sure that you're 21.
That's fine. They can look at me and tell I'm 21.
I mean, I went through an actual checkout the other day at Target, and I just realized yesterday one of the shirts I bought still has the security thing on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm going to have to walk back in there.
Yeah, yes, you are. And it didn't go off when you walked through the door.
Maybe it did. I just didn't pay attention. I went to put it on Saturday. I was like, damn it.
Another person says e-readers. For some reason, they're just weird for my eyes. I just want to hold an actual book. So
I prefer to hold a book.
Like one of those fire tablets or whatever the deal is. And someone else
says, the smell.
Yeah.
Something about opening a book, man.
I don't use GPS navigation because I've noticed it causes people to lose their sense of overall direction. People don't know street names. I was trying to help someone with just directions by telling them the names of the roads, and they did not know any of the names or numbers of the major interstates or intersections in our area and the highways.
Right.
You definitely notice that. Someone here says, my thermostat in my apartment requires an app to set the temperature. I hate it. They tried that in this building, and a lot of people still use it, but just to get on the elevator.
Yes.
And get to, we're on the 14th floor, so like most places, you get on an elevator, and then there's the corresponding button to a number. You press it, it takes you there.
Oh, God.
Well, then they switched it all up, so it's like, hey, we need you to download this app to the phone. And then I realized, basically, it's a third-party app, and all they're doing is tracking where you're at, so they can send you more advertising.
The thing is, if you walk out of the front door, it would turn itself off, but if you went to Tacoma over the weekend, it tracked you the entire time. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
So we went to security, and I said, look, I'm taking the app off. Well, I just hate apps in general. They're just a pain in my ass. So it's like, get rid of this, and now we just have the security badge thing that you flash in front. It just makes my life easier, and I try not to carry my phone every single place I go. So I'd go out to smoke and realize I can't get back to the floor.
I mean, I wouldn't mind having paper ticket stubs again.
What, especially like a concert,
just so you have a memento.
Yeah, or like F1. Like I don't. I mean, I'll go to another one, but that was the first one in Vegas. It would have been cool to have a ticket stub.
Just a little memento.
Yeah, no, it's a cool reminder too. When you go back, you might have forgot something. You're like,
absolutely,
oh, that,
man.
That's right. That was a great show.
I mean, even this weekend, I got to fly out of town this weekend. And my wife's like, you need to download this airline's app. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. It's not enough to just buy the ticket to go where the hell I'm going. I got to download the app, put all this crap on there. And I'm like, this is just a pain in my ass.
Yes, it is.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, naked ladies.
Hola.
Ken, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, let's see here. All right, let's go with this one. It's a hygiene question. Would you say you wash your hands after going to the bathroom 100% of the time, and do you wash your hands in general other times during the day?
Not 100, but pretty dang close, and yes, I wash my hands otherwise.
Has this been since childhood? Is this post-COVID? A lot of people picked up on it with COVID. Some people, their parents bash it into their head, and it's what they do every time.
It's a bit of column A and column B. My grandma was a former Navy nurse, so definitely had that hygiene drilled into me that way. But then also now I work food production, so it's just going every time, washing your hands.
All right.
I do appreciate you doing that if you're working food production.
I am. Yeah. I get up and take a shower, so I consider that hand washing number one.
Well, sure. We'll give you that.
From that point, I only wash my hands after I use the bathroom for the majority of the day, just being honest. And then before I cook, I always wash my hands and afterward.
But that's where I'm at. I mean, there's no other time. Unless I spilled something on my... You're right. I go to the bathroom, I will wash my hands. If I'm going to cook, I wash my hands. And that's... I don't know when else I would necessarily... this is not true. There are occasions where we will meet a great number of people, and if you meet 50 people, for whatever reason, there's one handshake that kind of sticks on your brain. Something didn't feel right about the moisture level on their hand. And I'm not even kidding, man. And I will excuse myself to wash my hand because I just don't know... I'm not sure what was on this person's hand that skeeved me out so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I absolutely... I'll be right back, everybody.
This article on hand washing comes from Europe, and it says, as Europe grapples with the flu season, personal hygiene is more important than ever. Now, the infection, formerly known as influenza, may not be all that dangerous thanks to vaccines, but it still kills about 27,000 people year-round in Europe. And hand washing is the basic hygiene practice many take for granted, but there is a big discrepancy depending on what country you are from in Europe and how committed people are to the practice, according to data available on European hand washing habits.
Dude, and remember, I just watched this whole thing on Tombstone and stuff. The doctor in Tombstone was ahead of his time, as he was the first doctor in the 1870s to be like, I should wash my hands before I pull bullets at it. That's part of the reason so many people got infections is nobody was smart enough to go, maybe the doctor's hands are dirty.
Well, keep in mind, Nelly really figured out germs about 100 years ago.
Yep.
That's about how long we've known that, ooh, we can kind of pass stuff from one person to the other.
So here's how the country's broke it down. As far as the Dutch, apparently they do not care all that much about washing their cans after going to the bathroom. They're about at 50%.
Okay.
So 50%. Italians take they say the silver in the dirty hands challenge, as 43% of Italians refuse to give their hands the once over with soap after they use the bathroom.
Well, I talk with them. That way I'm talking dirty.
Next on the list are Austrians and Latvians, with 35% of people in both countries not using soap and water after finishing going to the bathroom.
Yeah, but I'm clean downstairs.
Polish have a better score in hand washing. 68% of Poles wash their hands every time. Czech and Ukraine, 71% of the population washes their hands, followed by Bulgaria at 72%.
Wow, those clean Bulgarians have been saying it for years.
Switzerland, 73% always wash their hands. Ireland, 74%. UK, 75%. So 3 out of 4.
Maybe they'll brush their teeth next.
Close to a quarter of Finns do not seem to fancy washing their hands after using the toilet. 76%. In the 80% bracket, we see Serbia, Romania, Kosovo, and the Portuguese.
Romania. I like it.
Romania. And Kosovo, yes, exactly.
Romania from Chef Boyardee.
The two European nations that seemingly take hand hygiene pretty serious, that would be Bosnia and, believe it or not, Turkey.
Really?
94%
gotta wash all the oil
of the
time. Hands for wrestling.
Yeah, well, you're wrestling with another guy in oil.
And they get, knuckle dandruff.
Yeah, Bosnia's 96% wash their hands. More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Little announcement coming up for you at 4:30 concerning the 20th anniversary of the Men's Room here at the Rock of Seattle. 4:30, we'll give you the party details, so to speak. Right after emails on a random question, 206-803-ROCK. Once again, we've had to reset this thing. Get back to you guys until we get another caller on the line. Okay, here's a good one. What have you guys cheated on?
Let's see. Cheated on a couple final exams and a citywide, like, history research paper thing that we had to do in 10th grade. I didn't know it was a citywide competition. I thought it was just a paper for social studies, history. Okay. Right? And anyway, so one of my friends was a year older than me. He had done it the year before, and he did it on either Greek mythology or Roman. I don't remember which, but he had a bunch of his notes. So basically, I just took his notes. He wasn't a gifted writer, we'll say. So I just wrote a better version of all the research that he'd already done. And then I turned it in just to get it done, because it's one of those deals where you have a weighted grade, right? It's 40% of your grade, that kind of crap. Turned it in, didn't give it a thought. About a week later, the teacher says, "Hey, man, that was a really well-done research paper." I'm like, "Oh, well, thank you," right? It left it at that. About a week after that, he says, "Hey, I submitted this to the citywide history research, whatever this thing was in Baltimore City." And I'm like, "I'm sorry, what?" And he's like, "Well, yeah, the entire city in this grade, they all do the research papers at the same time. Then there's a competition. I'm submitting yours." But cool. And again, I don't give it another thought, because I truly, deeply, passionately did not care. I got second place citywide. So then, when I'm being told this by my history teacher, he then calls my mother. Now, understand, when the school called my parents, it was never good news. So I can hear my mother on the other side of the phone, still landline phones. And I said, "Hey, this is Mr. Walker," I think was his name. And I just hear my mother say, "What did he do?" And those are seriously the first words out of her mouth. He's like, "Hey, no good news. He got second place, blah, 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 blah." Then they have this freaking ceremony downtown, and I'm there with all these other people that legitimately did the research papers, as far as I can tell anyway. Super nerds, these people that are way into history, all this stuff. Yeah, I got second place citywide.
Nice.
Yeah, and the whole thing, and I never had the heart to tell my parents, like, "Look, man, I wrote this in about 25 minutes the day before it was due, because Matt Clark, who they knew, gave me all of his research paper." And but it ended up being a good thing. I got a trophy and everything. Yeah,
I got kind of graduated with a class that my buddy took for me. So
college.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I needed that. I was terrible at math, and I had to do a correspondence course.
Right.
So basically, I took one class from LSU. Yeah. They mailed you the assignments. Brian did all the work. And then my counselor allowed Brian to sit in, because it had to be done, the final, in front of her. And he took the test for me in front of her and passed.
But she knew
that
he was... Okay. All right.
Yes.
I mean...
Yes.
The brass is working with
you. I had
you.
Taken three just prep classes that did not count.
Yeah.
To try to pass those to be able to get into the actual math class that I needed to take.
Correct.
And I couldn't even get that far along. So after the third time, man, I mean, I'm an adult. I'm about ready to break down into tears.
Right.
I'm so frustrated, you know, by trying to do these formulas and this math, and I can't figure it out. But Brian saved my life on that. Also,
I cheated on a test to get confirmed in the Catholic faith.
Damn. Well, you're just going to hell. I mean, your punishment's coming.
But you got
to
write down all the prayers. I couldn't remember them all.
How many are there? I feel like we're Catholics. There's a whole lot of prayer.
Our Father, Hail Mary are the big ones, but there was like five you had to write down.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like a little sheet with them written.
Yeah.
Took the test longer than needed.
Right.
And then went to the other room and copied those over. I've cheated on some major things.
All right.
Right. That's one. I guess technically I kind of cheated on my driver's test.
How did you cheat on the driver's test?
Because my dad at the time was working for a driving school, and was just like, "Yeah, he did it all."
Oh, all right,
no kidding.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, well that's dangerous.
That's convenient.
That's dangerous. Yeah,
I'd have taken advantage of that too.
Like, man. I'm not a cheater unless it's something big.
Yeah,
I was. Then I'll cheat my
ass. That makes it better.
I was.
It won't be petty.
I was 19 years old. I was in the second apartment that I had. One of the roommates that I had in my first apartment, he moved along with me in the second apartment. I was not real privy to this this form of entertainment at the time, but he had a lot of lube, all right? And I had never used lubrication for sex at that point in time.
Okay.
It just wasn't.
Was his name Diddy?
His name was Matt.
Ah, close.
All right? And so
Matt Combs.
Matt had. Matt had.
We're going to connect it no matter what.
Matt had the first that I'd ever seen of water-based lubricant, KY jelly.
Yeah.
I had never.
Another one. Name another jelly out there.
Well, but
grape.
Seriously, I didn't even know what it was initially. I'd heard of
it.
Don't
use grape jelly.
I didn't know what it was. But I was also playing senior Babe Ruth, and I was a pitcher. So I would take
you bastard.
What?
You doctoring up baseballs?
No. Just putting my finger on the tips a little bit. And
yeah, you're doctoring up baseball.
Yeah. I had a rising fastball like you wouldn't believe, man. I think it's like, but see, by the time it hit the glove, man, it would dry. So you have to keep going to the well.
Right.
Yeah. But you could, it's senior Babe Ruth. No one's paying attention. So I'm just,
well, I mean, you're kind of right, because they should be playing Legion at that age if they're that good.
Exactly. But, right. But it was still competitive.
I expect more out of you, Montgomery.
It was still competitive, but you should have seen the movement on this ball. It was like nothing I could ever throw.
All right, let me ask you this. Does it count as cheating if you don't know you're wrong?
No.
So when I'm keeping score for DeMatha, right, we're ranked, we started the season number one in the country, but now we're playing a game within our conference. We're at McNamara. I'm keeping score. At this point in my life, I haven't worked camp. So I don't know all the rules.
All right.
So there's a lane violation somewhere in my mind on like a foul shot. I was convinced that should give us a point. And I argued it so well, the referee stops time and gives us a point. Now, you got to keep in mind, at the time, again, we're ranked top 10 in the nation. This goes from a 2-point game to like a 3-point game on this call. So we end up winning by like 5, but that was a big thing, right? Because now McNamara's got to try to hit a 3. So then after the game, I cut out the Washington Post article because there's an editor's note that was like there was a disagreement and there's a point difference between the official book and what the actual score was.
But the ref gave it to you.
The ref gave it to me. So I wasn't really cheating. But the next time I'm keeping score is it's kind of the same refs all year. And that guy, he just walks over and goes, don't say an effing word to me. I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep score tonight. And like, I mean, he knew. I'm sure somebody told him, like, you realize you let a high school senior bully you into giving him a free point.
Yep.
It's okay. I mean, look, we watched football over the weekend. There's a lot of holding that was not called. There's a head-to-head that wasn't called. It's like, they're not cheating. If you did, look.
You didn't get caught.
You speed all the time. If the cops don't pull you over, then you weren't speeding. Just that simple.
Yeah. Or like when I played a couple years of football, that was my big move, right? Everybody knows what a swim move is, right? Yeah. If you're a defensive lineman, right? But I'm short. So by the time I try to swim over a dude, he could just push me over. So I like the rip. You pull on their jersey, and then you rip your arm through. But also, if you don't, you just punch him in the gut hard. Hard as you can.
Yeah.
So I'm sure somewhere that's not in the rules, but I loved it.
You're just going for the rip and you missed.
Right. And that offensive lineman, he hates it. You know, there was other subtle things like how you press all your body weight on their chest.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah, absolutely.
Just little things to grind on a man, Mike.
Yes. Raise my ass, what have you cheated on?
Then when they lose it, you go, whoa, dude.
Hey, back
whoa,
home.
Hey.
Here's a shocker for you. In a new poll of vegetarians and vegans, 38% admit that they
like meat?
Cheat meals with meat.
Uh-oh.
Mm. Vegetarians who still eat dairy and eggs, they're more likely to admit it than vegans who avoid all animal products, but it isn't just a one-time thing. 47 people on plant-based diets say they rarely eat meat, maybe once or twice a year. 38% eat meat occasionally, every few months.
Well, then you're not vegetarian. You just predominantly have a vegetable-based diet.
Well, the thing is, 33% of the people admit that they do not eat these foods in front of other people and tried to keep it a secret.
It's like saying 23% of Catholic priests admit to on the weekend worship Satan. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, then maybe you're not a priest.
And like, dude, look, I told you, I had a buddy. He was like, I will not eat chicken off a bone in front of you white people. He's like, it's such a big stereotype. I was like, you don't like wings? And he's like, I love wings. I was the only white person in the room. He's like, I ain't eating wings in front of you. I was like, I'm not racist. He's like, it's not the point. He's like, it's such a stereotype. And he's like, it's ingrained in me. Yeah. I refuse to eat chicken off the bone in front of white people.
All the better. The good news is about this study is that, the, look, you can eat a plant-based diet. And if you just eat meat every once in a while,
you're fine.
In moderation, exactly. You're much healthier. They also say, keep in mind, the survey was conducted by a beef company called Lynn's Heritage Angus. And as part of their totally unbiased vegan and vegetarian meat cravings report
right.
that they do on a yearly basis. Speaking of, as far as cheating, not that this is necessarily cheating, but it kind of, it's a little questionable. Friday was a thing that they called Quitter's Day.
Yeah.
And that's when people were most likely to abandon their New Year's resolution. Try January.
That was Friday?
Whatever the deal is.
All right.
But if you want to pretend you're still sticking to your diet, the good folks at Arby's have you covered. They are running a promo in five cities this week called New Year, Same You. And Arby's has...
Good for you, Arby's.
New Year, Same You. They just added salad to the menu.
Okay.
At Arby's, okay? They added three menu items. But they're just fake names for stuff they already have. So, if you step up to the counter and you order a salad with dressing, this week, you're going to get a double beef and cheddar sandwich, French fries, and a milkshake. If you get a green smoothie, that translates into a milkshake.
Okay.
And steamed vegetables is a side of curly fries.
Nice.
The idea is you can cheat, but get around it on a technicality. If anyone asks, you can say, "Oh, I had for lunch was a salad and some steamed vegetables."
And show them the receipt.
And a green smoothie. Yeah.
Technically, you're not lying. They're doing it in Cleveland, Las Vegas, Miami, Chicago, and Atlanta. And if you go to any other Arby's, they'll do it, but you have to tell them.
Yeah.
Just well, to that's make sure. Not the same.
Yeah, I just want to go. I don't want to have to explain the code, man, you know?
Yeah, right? Like, you don't want to really know.
Just put it on the receipt.
Random.
Hello, Amy. Welcome to the men's room. Random.
Hola.
Amy, welcome to the program. Random question. How are you, Amy?
I'm doing great.
Okay. Amy, are you in a relationship?
I am.
Okay. How many people have you dated over the years?
Probably like seriously dated. I'd probably say like six, maybe.
All right. Six or seven. All right. All right. Now, you don't have to give any details on this. I'm just asking, okay? I know it might seem a little bit offensive, but we've all been in the bedroom with people before. What do you remember the person that had the biggest penis that you have ever seen?
Yeah, that would be probably my second boyfriend, and he was pretty long. But, you know, to tell you the truth, it kind of hurt.
Okay, so it wasn't the most enjoyable experience because of that.
Yeah, it wasn't. Who was the most enjoyable?
Oh, Mike's giving you an applause. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, then who was the most
My little bit of sausage don't hurt.
I would say my current boyfriend's actually my best one.
All right. That's good.
Would you say it if he was not sitting next to you?
He's not even in my vicinity right now.
All right.
Because a lot of people are not fortunate enough to still be with the same person that did the, whatever, had the, you know.
Well, you can't make the Franken person.
No,
you can't. Like, I want your mouth, you're this.
You can always remember, you know, some of the things that you've done, seen, and enjoyed, but that doesn't mean that you're currently in the midst of it.
Correct.
No. So that's a good thing, right?
Well, there's a benefit of, I think, being in your 40s. You know what you like, and you're going to be pretty straightforward about it.
You know what? You are absolutely right. Like, look, you might not be the chocolate shake exactly that I wanted, but I can tell you what to do to get that flavor a little closer.
Well, sometimes people you don't find all that attractive have a very specific skill set.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Liam Neeson.
Right?
Or just, you know, parts. I mean, we were talking about this a couple of minutes ago, but not on the air. Just as far as, like, back to what would you like to know on your life stats, right? So, how many boobs have you seen?
Right.
And then ranking them in order on what you believe to be the best.
Jaw-dropping to cringeworthy, you know?
Exactly. All right.
All of them.
All those different
things. Because we're on that scale, too. Your penis is on some woman's scale going like, ew.
It could be real low.
Well, again, though, when you're with somebody and you're dating them, especially if it's like a long-term relationship, you're fine with that stuff.
Sure.
And imperfections. Then when you break off of them, it's like, ew, it was gross.
Well, then you remember, like, I'm so tired of ramen noodles, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, at the time, like, hey, if you're offering this to me, I'm going to take it.
Good news, and the reason we asked about the biggest penis, the world's biggest penis size by country has been revealed.
Ah, okay.
They do this every year.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to guess, like, Somalia. It's got to be
Sudan.
Man, we could have done this in the, your guess is as good as mine. Just stick with Africa. Sudanese are the most jumbo down under. They tip the tape at an average of just over 7 inches.
Did I not just guess who, Dan?
2 inches longer.
No, I said did. Somali. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Then the global average.
Stop trying to cheat. Yeah. That's a different question, dude.
So Sudan, they do well. They're number
Isn't
one.
Is that where Ball Ball's from? Ball?
I think it is Sudan.
It's Manute's son.
Yes. Right, I know, but yeah. I get the feeling
he's
that did not skip.
He's also 7 feet tall.
It exactly.
Doesn't matter where he's from. He's 7 feet tall.
And that's when he's on his knees.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's probably doing okay. Second place
when
in the
he's laying on his back.
Measuring contest just underneath Sudan was the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Yeah. Yeah, Congo.
Yeah. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Canada ranked lower than the U.S. with an average length.
Because it's cold.
That's what they said, winter penis.
Yeah, I believe it.
Sorry.
Right.
Something I can do.
The warmer it is, the better off you are.
Absolutely.
Ecuador, Republic of the Congo, Ghana, rounded out the top five of the member Mount Rushmore.
Ghana. The member Mount Rushmore.
Unfortunately, the United States was a bit lacking at the manhood department. Placing in 68th place around the world with an average penis measurement of 5.57 inches.
That sounds average to me.
Now, many of the least endowed countries. Any idea?
Cambodia.
They are in Asia. The smallest honor went to Thailand, where penises measured 3.72 inches on average. Asian nations in general represented a good portion of the least endowed nations. Following close behind Thailand, North Korea, Cambodia, and Nepal. Myanmar finished fifth. Of course, girth was equally as valuable as length.
All right, who's got good girth?
I feel like that's like Germany or something.
It's European countries.
Yep.
France topped the list on thickness.
Yeah, we have the thickness.
Netherlands, Ecuador was up there a little bit. Belgium.
What is going on in Ecuador? We got length, we got girth. You name it, we got it.
Denmark rounded out the rankings.
We got that Ecuadorian penis.
But tell you, here are the top 10 penis lengths by country. Coming in at
What's
number
that?
10.
You're dating an Ecuadorian?
Okay, I can't top that.
And number 10. I didn't like you anyhow.
At 6.5 inches, comes in the nation of Cameroon.
Oh, Cameroon. All right.
Number 9 is Colombia. Lebanon is 8. Venezuelans have the 7th biggest penis in the world with 6.66 inches.
And big asses.
Nigeria at 6. Ghana at 5. Republic of the Congo in 4. Ecuador is number 3. The Democratic Republic of Congo, 7 inches at number 2, and Sudan, 7.07 inches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where you're going to find the big ones, ladies.
And that's just stereotype after stereotype there, boys.
That's why it's a stereotype, right?
Random,
as a comedian random, said years ago, he's like, when God was creating people, he got the Asians random, and he got the black people, and he said, look, random, you want penises or jobs? And the decision was made. Hello, hello, Joe. Welcome to the men's room.
Thank God I'm not from Thailand. Wow.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Joe, aren't you a bit of Asian descent, though?
Oh, very, very little. Very little.
Just that one part.
The rimshot should be in there.
Just the one part.
Oh, hey, guys, I want to congratulate you on your 20 years in Seattle.
Hey, thank you, man.
Man, we appreciate it, man. Let's see here.
You guys, 2 weeks before you went on the air, and I remember that. It was a fun day. It was a Super Bowl party.
Hey, Joe, we got an invitation to a party coming up at 4:30 here, so stick around for that.
I'll be tuning in.
That way we can hang out. What just randomly dumb thing have you always kind of just wanted to do? It's not the most important thing. Maybe it is. But just what dumb thing have you always wanted to do?
Of course, and it's on my bucket list, skydiving. But the problem with it is I weigh too much to do the tandem.
What's the weight limit on it? When I did it before, they told me, and I cannot remember.
Because you lost a lot of weight, haven't you?
Well, yeah, but still, I'm like 10 pounds over. 220 is the limit.
Okay.
And being that I'm tall, you know, it's, I'm not going to lose weight to just do that.
Okay, but
I'd have to lose muscle.
Would you even feel comfortable if, say, you're 218 and you qualified?
Right.
You still don't have that comfort level, right? Based on the fact that, I mean, you're right there on the line on the weight.
Yeah, but I would think so. But I think the way they do it, if they say 220 is the limit, then 250 is the limit. That is my belief in all these things, right?
Okay.
So you say 220 to keep it there or lower, but that means they could probably handle up to 250, but they're not trying to do that.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's like if a woman's pregnant, like, don't drink any wine. You can have 2 or 3 glasses a night. But if they tell you that, you will have 5 to 7 glasses a night. So they just say, don't have any. That way, if you slip up and have 1 or 2, you're still in the safe zone.
Okay. All right. Reason we asked, what dumb thing have you always wanted to do?
This would be horribly violent, but I've always wanted to have a gun and be like, dance for me.
And shoot at the
floor. Shoot at their feet.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
These Westerns
I'm going
to hang out with Joe, man.
These Westerns have really warped your brain, haven't they?
They have. I got to stop watching it.
Okay. A Friday morning flight from Atlanta to Minneapolis ended before it started, and this is one of my dumb things I've always wanted to do. Granted, it wouldn't be a good situation, but passengers on the flight had to exit the airplane via the slide.
Yeah.
The airplane was carrying 201 passengers and 7 crew members, experienced some kind of engine issue, and aborted its takeoff from Hartsfield in Atlanta. The incident happened after 9 a.m., and they didn't mean to. It just triggered the plane's emergency slides, which all the passengers used to deboard onto the snowy tarmac and walk off.
And not one of them had a problem with it.
See, I just, for whatever reason, like, as long as we're not crashing or whatever the deal is, and like,
if it's a safe situation, sure, I'd love to.
I always want
to
just jump down one of those slides. You know? All right, let's see. We got a special announcement coming up for you at 4:30, and your email's on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.